Hi, and welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Mums. Hi, and welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Mums. My name is Winnie, and I launched the show with one goal, and that was to share the authentic stories of single mums who are challenging the status quo and parenting with sass. On today's show, I'm speaking to sassy mum Shadeen about her experience raising her son after finding out she was pregnant whilst having broken up already with his dad. So this is definitely a case of having a baby with a man who's not ready to be a father. And we just learn a little bit more about the relationship and what they'd gone through beforehand in order for him to be in a position where he doesn't want to be involved. Hi Shadeen, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
On today's show, I want to talk a little bit about your experience raising your son as a single parent and just diving into, I guess, overall what it's been like, especially without the involvement of his father during, I guess, throughout the last couple of years, but especially during COVID.
Yeah, so my son's father was not involved from the minute I found out I was pregnant. There's been no involvement at all.
All right, so let's get started then. I guess, what was the relationship like before you became pregnant? What happened then?
With the father or just
yes.
In... Oh, yeah, yeah, it was good. I mean, no, it wasn't. That's such a lie. it was okay, but there was, I think, in any involvement or relationship with somebody, there started to be red flags, and it was one of those.
What were those red flags?
There were things like I didn't like the way. I've always been a very confident person. I've always been confident when I date. I've never felt I wasn't good enough for somebody, and there were things that he would say to me that I just think you don't say to somebody. And
if you could give me an example.
He would always like, do you know those people who would like, I don't know how to describe, but you know when somebody's like, you say, for example, you've done something wrong. Now, I'm not perfect, so I'm going to make mistakes, so I'm going to do things that it would annoy him. But then he wouldn't tell me what it was. He would just expect me to know. And then me not knowing, he'd be like, oh, you know, the fact that you don't know is like even worse. I'm like, but I want to know so that I can improve on it or we can discuss and I can. Sorry, go ahead.
No, not even to. I was basically going to say, I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to say that's a form of, it's a silent treatment, you know, it's a form of narcissism.
Narcissistic. It was very narcissistic, it was. But at the time, you know, you ignore some of the red flags and it got to a point where I started to question if I was good enough for this person. And for me, that was the wake-up call. And that's when I realized, oh, like I've never done that before and I never want to feel like that. So I kind of started to take a back seat. Yeah. And then it was like I took a back seat, but it was a bit late. I was already pregnant, but had no idea. So when I found out I was pregnant, we wasn't even talking. So it wasn't great. It wasn't the greatest situation to find out. Yeah, it was really bad. And I remember just thinking, oh my goodness, why me? Why has this happened to me? But I wasn't upset about being pregnant. I think I was more upset about who I was pregnant for, because I'd realized that I don't think this is the person I've ever been with. So that was more of where the fear came in.
Essentially, you started to notice some of, like, you know, character changes, and you started to notice these red flags. How soon into the relationship did these red flags become apparent?
They weren't apparent at the beginning at all. I actually thought that he was the one. I thought, right, I thought it was, you know, this was going to be the one. And I think the best way I've described it to other people is, if someone had said to me at the beginning, if you fall pregnant, or, you know, do you think that you wouldn't be able to be mature adults and deal with the situation? And I used to say to myself, no, I never got that impression. I never got that impression that if that was the bridge that we were to cross, I'd be in the situation that I'm in now. It was just like it came out of nowhere. but it came out a bit too late, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and was anything happening in his life at the time that could have, like, you know, affected his behaviour?
Nothing that I can pinpoint. I think he might not have been in the best place in his career. He had a great career and everything, but I think he was really hard on himself at where the level that he was at wasn't the level that he wanted to be at. So that's the only thing. And I say that because I can remember, like, conversations would always be about work and how he does majority of the things, and there's people above him and he's basically doing their work and they're on silly money and he needs to be at this target before this. And I just used to think, oh, like, can we just watch a movie or something? It was really quite intense. But that's the only thing I can think of. I can't think of anything else. Maybe he didn't disclose it to me, but that's the only thing I could think of that was maybe challenging for him at the time.
Fair, that's fair. And I guess we've all been there. You know, I think I've had moments in work where I'm just like, I'm losing my marbles. So I can completely relate. And I can understand what that stress must have been like. Where were you? I guess, what position were you playing and what were you focusing on?
As well, at that point of the year, I was at a position where I was just stacking. It was about stacking. Yeah. I needed to stack the coins. Every penny was going to be saved. I was approaching 30 as well. So it was my year of approaching 30. And you know, when you just get into that, like, where am I at in life? Start feeling, you start thinking.
I'm 28 and I'm like, yeah, 30 is around the corner. Need to start getting things.
You just start. Yeah. So it was like, and I remember, like, every year we go back home with my family and we planned a big family trip. And I mean, that's a massive part of my year for me, is going back home, spending time with family and stuff. And I had made that decision not to go. So I was like, I'm not going to spend all that money. As you probably know, when you go home, you know, you cater for the whole village. So I was like, it's a large amount of money that I don't want to spend. So I had made that decision and I was like, look, I'm turning 30. You know, I want to buy somewhere. There's just so many. There was other things in that were a priority to me at the time than a holiday. I was just literally in that mind frame, right, 30. By the time I get to my, you know, half of my 30th, I want to see some sort of, like, development. Oh, I want to have hit some goals that I had set up for once I turned 30. So, yeah, that was. Children wasn't a part of it. Children were not a part of it at all. Wasn't there, yeah, it wasn't in my thought process at all for children. I didn't see it coming. I really didn't.
But it happened. So how did it happen? And how did you find out? Well, obviously we know how it happened.
We know how it happened.
When did you find out? What was the reaction? And I know you mentioned that at the time you wasn't talking to your ex. What led to the break? Like, what led to this argument? And where were you guys kind of, like, mentally in the relationship before you found out you were pregnant?
Mentally, I would say I think we probably both wasn't in it at all mentally. I think for him it became more of a physical thing. And I picked up on that. It went from, you know, like, speaking every day, being really sweet, to, like, coming out with these little, like, indirects. And, you know, he would say things like, oh, he would tell me what type of person I was, and I'd be like, No, you can't do that. Like, you know, he would tell me all these qualities that I lacked that were very important to him. Yeah. He would tell me, you know, I lacked all these qualities that were really important to him. And but I was like, so why are you talking to me then? Like, I will be honest with you, there was a massive cultural difference as well. He is Nigerian, but I felt like he wasn't Western Nigerian. He was very old school Nigerian. He grew up there, etc. And then there was me. I'm Caribbean. I'm Jamaican. And so anything he would say, I would challenge it. And I don't think he liked that. I think that was where we kind of there's was a little bit some maybe that for him was like, no, he's not used to that. And I'm like, well, I'm not used to somebody telling me I'm something when I know I'm not. I'm going to tell you I definitely ain't that. And if you've got a problem, then you need to go, kind of thing. So it started a bit like that. And then
it's interesting.
I started to know. No, this is before telling him. This was like before telling him. This was when I noticed it started to become like just on the weekends he'd call me. And obviously we all know what that means. It would be on a Friday evening. I'd get a call like, hey, how are you? And I started to notice a pattern. And that's when I honestly took a back seat from it. So I wouldn't contact him. And if he called, I'd ignore it. And then that happened for a few weeks. The usual, I started to feel.
You guys were playing games?
Yeah, there was a little bit of game playing, probably from both ends. But I just wouldn't hear. I think, to be fair, I kind of ghosted, maybe should have said. He maybe just thought when I'd pick up, I'd pick up. Because I remember clearly from me ghosting, it was probably about 2 weeks. And then that was in that space. That's when I found out I was pregnant. So I was having all these feelings, you know, I was feeling really, I don't know. I wasn't feeling myself. I wasn't feeling myself at all. And I remember it clearly because it was when our mutual friend's sister was leaving to live abroad, and she had a leaving party. And I remember saying to her, oh, you know, I don't feel well, I don't know what it is, I just don't feel myself. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I thought it was maybe my period, because it was that's the only thing I could relate it to. And my back was hurting. I remember when I was working at the time, I went to work one day with a hot water bottle on my back. That's how much I was in. I had the worst back pain, thinking, what is going on? But I also have issues with my back, so I just put it as in, oh, maybe I slept bad, it was from working out. I was still doing everything I was doing, went out the weekend, had heavy drinking. And then I remember one morning just being in bed and thinking, why do I feel like this? And I have another mutual friend where we have our menstrual cycles we come on at the same time. And I remember she was round and she had a wedding and she borrowed a jacket. She was wearing white and she wanted a white jacket. And I was like, I've got one. Don't buy one. Come and borrow mine. She came round and she was like, oh, I'm a bit worried because, you know, I'm due on. And I was like, oh, God, white at a wedding, you know, be careful. Yeah. And then that conversation.
White at a wedding overall, it's cheeky, but sure.
I think the dress code was white. I think the guests have to be in all white anyway. So, but it was, I was more concerned. I was like, oh God, the last thing you want is an accident. So I was like, be careful. And I just remembered I was lying in bed and that conversation came to mind. And I was like, I've not come on. And then I was like, oh my goodness, she was saying the other day that she's on. We come on at the same time. And I'm one of those people, which is very bad. I don't keep track of it. Well, I never did then. Now I do. I've learnt my lesson. I never kept track. So I remember I just got up. I got up out of my bed. It was about 7 in the morning, I remember. And I just chucked anything on and I went to my local Asda's. And I got a test and I said, right, I'm not doing this at home. I need to be around someone. So I went to my mum's and I remember I just knocked the door. I went in. I didn't really say anything to anybody. My mum wasn't in. She was on her way home from work. And I went to the toilet. I got a plastic cup, did what I had to do. And I promise you, Winnie, I felt like that box just wanted to tell me straight away that as soon as I stuck that stick in my urine, it changed. Wow. Yeah, it changed straight away.
How long?
And I was like, I kept reading the box and I kept looking at the stick. Yeah. And I was like, this can't be right. And I was saying, and I remember I even prayed. I was like, please God, this cannot be right. I was like, no, this can't be right. And I remember I got up, I went, I left the house. I didn't even say bye to anyone. I left the house and I was I need to get more. I need to get more of these, another test. I need confirmation from another test. And then I called my mum on the way. I nearly got run over as well because my mind had gone blank. I couldn't think of anything else. I didn't even remember I had to use a crossing. I just crossed and all I heard was beep where I've walked out into the road. Still walking. I didn't even turn around. I didn't say sorry, nothing. I just remember I was still walking. I went and got another test and I called my mum and she was in the area as well. And I was like, meet me in Asda's. And she was like, you know, as parents do, now I know, like now I'm a parent, I know. She was like, why? What's going on? What's wrong? And I was like, just meet me in Asda's, crying my eyes out. She'd come in. Yeah, she looked so scared. And she was like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And I literally, this is the funny part, because my mum's been dying for grandkids. So when I told her, I was like, Mom, I'm pregnant. I could see the excitement on her face. But she also could see that I was devastated. Yeah. So she was trying to be supportive in the best way. But all I could see was that she wanted to run around that store with excitement. And she was like, oh, it's not bad. It's not the end of the world. I don't think I like the dad. And she's like, I didn't like your dad. You know, so she made me feel so much better. But then I had I've never been pregnant, had a scare or anything. So I was doing, as you do, you probably did the same, the Google. I went to Google and I was like, what do you do after a pregnancy test? Wow. And that's when I realized you have to go to the doctors and get, you know, urine sample confirmed. I did that. And those were probably the most difficult, well, I think like 3-2 days that I had to wait for the results to come back. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, how am I going to tell the dad if I am? We haven't spoken in about 2 weeks. It was just going through my head. Yeah, I think it was going through. And I think also as well, I had that fear of he's going to think I did this on purpose. Excuse me. I had that fear of that he's going to think that this was all my plan.
Yeah, like just because I put pins through it or whatever,
you know, I made the decision after, you know, doctors had confirmed that it was positive. I made the decision that at my age, I'm 30. So I turned 30 in the October. This was the February of the new year. So I had made a decision I just turned 30. I had just turned 30. Literally, I turned 30 in the October. I found out I was pregnant in the February of the new year.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, happy birthday then, because I was not expecting this at all. And I just started to overthink. He's going to think this is all in my plan. I planned this, you know, and there's so much pressure as well around my age group, you know, to have children.
Not leave it too late.
You know, 30 seemed to be that mark or whatever. Like a lot of people were turning 30 and getting pregnant. And I was like, that's not me. That wasn't in my plan. Like my next 5 year, it was in my next 5 year plan, but it wasn't the minute I turned 30. So when I had to actually tell him, it was really difficult. We were not in a good place. I called him. He lived quite far from me at the time, so there was no case of meeting up. And I just picked up the courage. I remember I was sitting in my bed. I picked up the courage. I called him, and I could tell as well by his response, he probably thought I was calling to reach out to maybe be like, hey, how are you? What's going on? Like, let's rekindle or something. I could just.
Yeah, was he like quite optimistic, like happy to hear from you?
Yeah, he was like, I felt like, you probably will deny it now, but I felt like he was excited to hear from me because he hadn't heard from me. So I could sense that it wasn't like, if it was the other way around, you know how we are, we would have been like, hi. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Right. Because we want to know, where have you been for the past 2 weeks? You don't just call my phone and act normal. It was the opposite. I felt like he was excited for me to have called him. And I was just like, are you sitting down? Yeah, I was like, are you sitting down? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I need to tell you something. And he answered the question. He's like, are you pregnant? And I was like, wow. Yeah. So he knew, maybe he knew, I don't know.
No, but I think it's always that question, isn't it? Like, if you're going to set the scene, I need to tell you something. 80% of the time, or at least from a guy's perspective, you're going to say, I'm pregnant.
You're pregnant. You know? Yeah, yeah. And I think from that, he, but it was a bizarre. It was bizarre, but I think it was maybe the shock of it, because literally after me saying, yeah, the next thing he asked me was, how was my family? And I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, they were all good, thank you, but I've just told you I'm pregnant. And he's like, yeah. I think it was, I don't know if he'd digest the question properly. Or the answer, should I say. I don't think he'd digest the answer properly. And he was like, it was weird. He was just talking normally. And then so
the fact that you just told him you were pregnant.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was weird. And then I remember, like, I think then it kicked in, and then the typical question started, is it mine? How long did you know? Was this your plan? And I was like, whoa. And obviously, as you do, my hormones are racing as it is. I've just had to make one of the most difficult phone calls I've ever made in my life. Yeah. So it then went really, from that day, it went left. It went so left. We argued. I was like, of course it's yours. You know, he wasn't asking me if I was with anybody else when we were together. Why now am I with, does it have to be somebody else's? And then I think the fatal question was, are you keeping it? What are we going to do? And I was like, kind of made that decision without you, which I have thought about now. You know, now that I've had time to reflect, I can get some of his frustration because I had made that decision without him, in a sense.
What was the reaction? What were those frustrations when, you know, so first you told him that you were pregnant, then I guess you both had a couple of days for this to digest and to kind of, you know, get into both of your minds. You had some time to think about it. And what were his initial reactions? You know, what are some of the things he came back with?
It was all negative. After that, it was all negative. I mean, if we had, I could talk for a week about how negative it was. But it was just a lot of, it's not mine. We weren't even together that much. All, you know, just all the denial that comes with somebody who doesn't have anything solid to say, but is just throwing all the things out that will convince him that, you know, I'm trying to plant somebody else's child on him.
How did you react to it? You know, what was your initial response? Like, you know, because in those positions,
I mean, in my defense, I think I handled it very well. I know I've told people this story, and I've heard of other people's, and I've heard that people, you know, girls have gone ballistic, you know. But I didn't want to do that because I don't know if it's coming from a single parent home myself. I knew at the end of the day, that response is not going to get me anywhere. So I took the approach of letting him, you know, say what he needed to say, but just reminded him that this is still going to happen. And then when baby does come, the door is always open. I wanted to make that very clear from the beginning. That was one thing I was adamant on, that I don't want him to use me as a reason for him not to have a relationship with his child, because I find that sometimes can be what they do.
Or they come back years later and they're like, well, I wanted to be involved, but you wouldn't let me see my child.
You wouldn't. Yeah. I didn't want to give him that excuse at all. So I made sure I did everything I could do to say, look, I even went as deep as into going about cultures, and, you know, I can't teach him things about his culture. I know, you know, Nigerians and their culture is very important, especially children. And bearing in mind, it's his first child and it's a boy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know how important that is in that culture. And I wanted, you know, I wanted to push that. Look, culture means a lot to me as well. Like, my culture doesn't have as much, you know, to that they value like that, but I know that your culture does. I know that this is a big deal. You're having your first child and it's a boy. Like, I love that stuff, and I want him to know where he comes from. I want him to know kings and all of this, and, you know, his heritage. I want him to know that, and I can't do that without you. And it just seemed like everything I was doing was pushing him away, and I just got to the realization that it wasn't me, it wasn't what I was doing, it was him. There was nothing I could do to make him see where I was coming from. It would be him to do that by himself. And I'm still waiting for that day, so who knows. But the door has always been open. I mean, when my son was younger, he had quite a serious accident, and we had to go to the hospital, and I didn't have to contact Dad. He's not there. He doesn't know him, you know, but he has a right to know. So I contacted him, and he was, you wouldn't believe it, he was there in a heartbeat. You would think he sees his child every day. He was there. Wow. Yeah. So I'm glad I did contact, because again, that could have been something that he could use against me, or when my child's older. And if I'm honest, I do think he will be involved, but I think he wants to be involved when all the hard work is done. As you can imagine, we do all the hard work, and then I think when he gets to an age when he can maybe have a relationship where there's more communication between father and son, I think that's when he'll pop up and be like, hey, I'm your dad.
I want to run back through some of the things that you've talked about, because I think you've made really important points, and you've made really relevant points that even I've experienced, you know, when I had my son, and my son's dad, he wasn't willing to be involved, but he definitely made an effort, in the sense that, yeah, he also said things as like, you know, it will be easier when he's older and I'll be able to do more things with him and I'll be able to get more involved. At first, he did also get cold feet, which I think is very normal, and they do just tend to, like, you know, I know there's a saying, like, they say that sometimes men grow a little bit slower than women. And I do think, you know, it, from what I've experienced anyway with my son's dad, I would say that it's true, because he's definitely grown into his responsibilities rather than being able to do it from day one, you know.
Oh, good, you give me hope, because boy
you've truly inspired me, and the thing is, you're inspiring so many other women, Shadeen, who are generally like out there doing it on their own, because you made a decision, you know, you made a decision even though things were uncertain, as you just said. You two weren't together, you weren't dating, you didn't really know how he, you know, you were concerned about his reactions. You knew that he would say like, oh, you planned this and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And what that came back to be. And I think this is such an important point to make, because I think so many people, sometimes when women have children, especially when the man is not involved, they think, oh, you know, she's trying to keep him, she's trying to lock him down, she's trying to whatever. But sometimes women decide that it's okay, you know, it's okay, I'm gonna have this child and you can do whatever you want to do.
100%. Yeah.
And it's not always for him to run back or have a way back in and so on. So I think that's really something valuable to hold on to.
I think so too. There is too many people out there that I can imagine when they're in my situation, they would have gone through with something that they didn't want to initially maybe do because of that stigma of, you tried to trap him. And it crossed my mind so many times, because that is sometimes the only way that you can prove that I didn't try to trap you. You know, it happens when you're even practicing protective sex. But what the hell do you think is going to happen when we don't practice protective sex? And we wasn't doing that. So I'm not blaming just him. I am to blame as well. But I just didn't think I'd be in a position where I would need to consider having an abortion to prove that I didn't trap you. Do you know what I mean? That was it. And it is a lot of people's reality. And now, you know, and I think for me as well, I looked at it as in, I'm 30. I ain't playing with God like that. Like, I'm not chancing that. I'm not chancing that God has given me one of the biggest blessings ever to then turn and say, actually, I don't want it, God, take it back, and never get that blessing again. I'm not playing with God like that. So that was heavy on my heart as well, is that I can't run them type of jokes.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you as well, because I generally believe that we have to be responsible. We need to be responsible adults, so that if we get into a situation where, like, we receive a blessing or something happens, you need to own it. You need, in that moment, you need to be like, you know what? I didn't do anything to prevent this from happening. This has now happened. This was meant to happen. So I need to do this in the right way.
100%. That's exactly how I looked at it. I was prepared to deal with whatever came with it.
So how was the pregnancy? How did you get on throughout? So at this point, you know, you've fully accepted the fact that you're about to give birth and you're about to have your child. What were the next few months like, especially with pregnancy hormones?
My pregnancy was great, and I thank God for that. My pregnancy, I think emotionally it was horrible because of all the stuff that I was dealing with the dad. But in terms of my actual 9 months journey, one of the best things. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I mean, I know all pregnancies are not the same, but based on my first one, I had a beautiful pregnancy. He developed well. There was no, you know, no issues, no complications. I had an amazing birth, natural. I was quite devastated I didn't get to try gas and air because he popped out in like 15 minutes. I had minimal contractions. I remember I kept saying to my midwife, why is nothing hurting? Because obviously you read so much, all those classes, the antenatal classes, telling you all these things to prepare for. I had none of that. So I was like, okay, so maybe something's wrong then, because why am I not feeling all of these things that I'm meant to be feeling? Why am I not, you know, having to pace my breaths because, to, you know, to help relieve the pain? It was beautiful. It was so beautiful that my birthing partner was my mum, and she was able to record it all because I didn't need any assistance. It was one of the best. Yeah, when I tell people the story, they're like, wow, that's that, you know, that is a blessing in itself to have such a... abuse. I know people have been in labor for like 2-3 days. Yeah. I think I was in labor for about, was your labor long?
Funnily enough, it was long, but it wasn't like, it didn't go into the 24 hour bracket, thank God. Okay. It was just around like 18-20 hours. So I went in, I remember it was like my son was born on Christmas Eve, so I went into the hospital this 10 a.m on the 23rd of December. And I was in hospital until like midnight of that night. And then we went into the 24th, and my son was born at 4 a.m. So just before it hit the 24-hour mark. So about 18 to 20 hours.
But see, that's even a long time in my eyes. That's a long, I don't know how I'd cope. I don't know how long I was in labor to even give you an hour. All I know is that I felt some pain, felt like period pains the night before. Next day, I was like, I need to poo. You know, you get that's the only thing I could describe it as. I was like, I need to poo. And then they were like, oh, has your water broken? I was like, I don't know. All I know is I need to poo.
It's just like so heavy. Like, you just feel it. And it's just like, it works. And you're like,
they were like, okay, come in. You need to come in. I was like, yeah. They were like, don't poo, come in. I can't promise you. All I know is I needed to go, and literally within like 10 minutes, he popped right out. So in the terms of like dealing with things emotionally, I'm just so grateful that the whole pregnancy was smooth. And I think I've also played consciously. I made a conscious decision as well not to possibly prevent or cause any complications to my pregnancy based on like stressing myself. You know, I prayed a lot about it and just asked God to keep me in a peaceful place, because I didn't want any of that to, like, you know, affect my pregnancy. It wasn't easy. Many nights I cried, you know, thinking about the situation. Like you said, hormones are a mess. I could be happy, and then 5 minutes later, I'd be crying because I've thought, you know, about something horrible that man said. And as human beings, even when you...
contact when you were pregnant? Like, did you reach out to him at all?
When I was pregnant, I reached out to him. And again, he the narcissistic behaviour of him would come out, you know. I tried to meet up with him one day. He couldn't seem to understand the fact that I am pregnant. So there's, you know, as a pregnant person, I can't get on the train at rush hour. Yeah. I don't want to be on the train at rush hour. Yeah. You know, I'd rather go at a more suitable time, or I don't want to travel so far, you know, on my own, heavily pregnant. I'd like to maybe be a little bit closer. He just wouldn't work with me. And he would then be things like, he would say things like, oh, you don't even sound like you can handle it. Are you sure you can handle it? Why don't you get rid of it?
Oh, wow.
Those are some of the things that I had to deal with. So during my pregnancy, you know, after conversation, I used to think about things like that. I used to be like, what a nasty piece of work. Yeah. Like, do I even want this man in my life, in my child's life? You know? And then I had to think, I would have to stop myself and be like, it isn't about you though, Shadeen. It's not about you. So as much as he is nasty to you, he's not going to have that bond with his child. We're not going to speak that bond on him with his child. You know, it's going to be different. At the moment, he just doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like anything that you're doing, and you're going to have to live with that. But yeah, some days I would just be like, fine. And then, you know, something stops you in your tracks, and it would always be some of the things that he said. He used to say things like, oh, I don't know you. I don't actually know you. I don't know nothing about you. I don't know nothing about your family. I was like, yeah, but then you weren't saying them things where you couldn't pull out, was you? You didn't care that you didn't know me then.
Damn right. Damn,
you didn't care that you didn't know me then. But now that the damage has been done, oh, you're giving it, I don't know. I didn't know. I don't know. You don't know anything about your family, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
I just think it's so good that you were able to kind of give yourself that self-talk, because I know that there are women who absorb a lot of that thing, a lot of those things that men say to them. You know, they start to believe that they are those things, or that they do have those problems, or they don't value, you know, or they should do this, they should do that. So I think, you know, it's great that you were in a mental stage where you were able to be like, deflect, and you didn't let it bring you down. I think that's like so incredible. It's one of the things that I've had to learn, you know, the hard way, because I've allowed people to say certain things, certain projections. Mm. And I've absorbed it into myself, and I've allowed myself to believe that it's true and that they're right.
Yeah, 100%. And after pregnancy, as much as I was in a better place, I was in a better place, should I say, when I was pregnant than after pregnancy, because obviously after baby is a whole different thing. So a lot of that self-talk that I would give in myself during the pregnancy went out the window after baby. You know, it was so different. I struggled mentally as well when I had my son. I had all those awful questions, like, you know, is he going to end up being a statistic? You know, can I meet somebody before he gets to the age where he questions who his dad is? All of those things. And I had to kind of slow it down, because I was like, I'm not doing myself any good. And I did struggle, especially last year. The first year, you know, was really difficult. You've got, you know, just giving birth, you've got postnatal depression. I caught mastitis.
I'm not too familiar.
Okay. Oh gosh. So this is one of the things that they don't teach you. I mean, everybody forces you to breastfeed, but they don't teach you of mastitis, which is basically an infection in your breast when your milk gets engorged to the point where if you don't release it, it gets infected. And for me, that was worse than crowning.
Oh.
It was horrible. I was in agony. And the only way to... I remember waking up and... I'm sorry?
How did your body react to it? Like, did you have a fever? Were you feeling pain?
You have a fever. So your boob gets huge. Your boobs... I had it in one boob more than the other. So I remember just... I felt really hot. I was really feverish. I was sweating. But my temperature was high. And I just remember looking in the mirror, and it goes right from like under your arm. And I just remember I couldn't lift my arm up, and my boob was just huge. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. My boob was massive. And we went to the hospital, and I was like, oh, you've got an infection. You know, take these painkillers, try and squeeze it out. You know, your boobs are already sore from trying to feed. anyway. So the last thing you want to do is having to try and squeeze all this milk out. So, you know, you're doing as little as you can because the pain is just unbearable. Your nipples are sore. You just want to give up. I had an infection for like 2 weeks. I mean, at one point, my mum, and bless her friend, she was a midwife back in the day, so they came out and they literally had to pin me down, and she literally just squeezed my boob to the point where, like, it was so engorged that the milk was, it was coming out like curdled milk.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the worst thing I've ever experienced.
I'm so sorry.
No, but you know what? But it's what you do. So I had to just suck it up and put baby on it and screamed my head off. But eventually I look back now and I'm like, they weren't that bad. But at the time, it was hell. It was absolute hell. And then I would have those thoughts as well. I would have those thoughts as, you know, I'm doing this and he can't even, you know, send a text and say, how's my son? So, you know, you start building up all this anger. I started building up all this anger towards him. You know, I'm up at night, baby's crying, I'm having to feed baby, I'm doing all of this all on my own, and you're there telling me that I wanted this. You know, there was so much anger that built up, and it challenged me mentally. It put me in a bad place. I felt like I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. But one of the great things I had was a support system. I had a massive support system.
Is that what helped you turn around? You know, more than
100%.
Turn around is the right term, the wrong term, but balance. How did you find your balance?
My support system. If I didn't have that, I can honestly say I don't know where I'd be. I do not know where I'd be without my support system.
You're talking a lot about your mum. Who else would you say?
My siblings. So I'm the eldest of four. I'm the eldest of four. I have a brother and I have two younger sisters, and I've got some really good friends who are like family. You probably have the same. I've got some friends that are like sisters that really stepped up. I've got some male friends who are like brothers who really stepped up. You know, and from a male perspective as well, it was good to sometimes get them on board. They would they'd even reach out to him and be like, look, can we meet man to man? Like, this is not a game. Like, this is something that you need to really like get to terms with. You're about to be a dad. So a lot of the support that I had just helped me.
So I guess, Shadeen, one question that I always ask every guest that comes into the show is obviously, what advice would you give to other women or other single moms who are in a similar situation? So bearing in mind everything we've had a chance to speak about, you know, your relationship with your son's dad, you know, before you became pregnant, the period that you became pregnant, and everything you've learned since having your son, what do you think are some of the things that women should be wary of, either if they're planning, if they're dating someone, or if they are in a situation that they've had a child with a man and he doesn't want to be a father?
As much as that is hurtful to know that somebody doesn't want to be a part of their child's life, I think there is no point us trying to make that person see any difference, because I think you can't make somebody see something that they don't want to see, and you'll only end up stressing yourself. And sometimes that stress can be taken out on your relationship with your child. So I think one key advice I would be to most parents, I mean, everybody might not agree, but mine is just always keep that door open, because it makes you such the bigger person. At the end of the day, that child should have that. I believe all children should have a strong male figure in their life. It doesn't have to be dad, but I do believe that there should be some form of a strong male figure. And if dad does eventually want to be that figure, always have that door open, but don't let them abuse it. So don't shut it off based on how they treated you during your pregnancy or how they treated you, you know, the first 5 years they weren't involved. Give him that opportunity, because it's about the child. And then if they abuse it, again, it is about the child. So you need to protect your child. And I get why you might. And one of my advices as well, even to myself, if that does want to get involved eventually, I'm going through court. We're going to do it the right way, because I feel sometimes when you do things behind the scenes, that's then when it gets complicated and people can take advantage. Yeah. And you don't want.
It takes longer. It takes double the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
it takes double the time, and you're really counting on this person to behave sensibly and to behave like an adult and to think at least in the same way that you do. And for some people, that's a lot to ask for. But yeah. One thing I can say to reassure you, Shadeen, as somebody who's been a parent, a single parent for the last, 12 to 13 years, I broke up with my son's dad when my son was a year and a half.
Right.
And he didn't necessarily walk away when I first became pregnant. He was involved. We were still in a relationship. But within a year and a half, 2 years, we did break up, and it was hectic, and he wasn't involved, and he wasn't helping in the way that I wanted him to. But I can honestly say, as the years have gone by, particularly in the last 6 to 8 years,
yeah,
he's invested so much more, and every year he does invest more. So I completely agree in your mindset in terms of leaving the door open, staying open-minded, and not being he did this, he did that, and I never want to speak to him again, because yeah, the child does deserve to have that relationship with both parents.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hopeful. Thank you for that, because I am very hopeful. I give it to God. If it's to be, it will be. But if it isn't, I'd also say another advice is there are men out there that will willingly 100% take on somebody else's child. So I'm not worried if he isn't. Because I do believe there'll be somebody that will be right for me that will, and give him that.
Amen.
It'd be dad's will loss if he doesn't act, if he doesn't fix up soon, he's gonna lose out.
Amen. And that's the way you got to look at it. Honestly, I love your confidence, and I wish I had this confidence when I first had my son, but obviously it's come over time. But this is exactly the kind of mindset that women need to embody if they're going to do it. If you're going to go on this journey to becoming a mother, then you need to be sure in yourself, and you need to be confident, and that's just the only way.
That's it. We are actually super women. So it's 100%. Mothers, I take my hat off to them, and I respect them more as well. So every woman should just know that you are literally a queen, and they've got it. You've got it. It's hard, but you've got it.
You've got it. And you're born with it. It's all in you. You don't even 100%. Need to do anything.
Might as well own it, right?
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. It's been so great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, no, it's been lovely. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's show. If you'd like to share your story, email us hello@sassysinglemoms.com or get in touch on Instagram @sassy_singlemoms. You can also find us on all podcast platforms.